ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, entitled The Brahmana's Vice Blessed, Text Number 9. Iti te bhagavad yajnam shrinamanto api na shrushruvuhu shudra आशा भूरी कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धा मानिना इति ते भगवद्याश्नाम शृण्वन्तो अपि न श्रुश्रुवो शुद्राशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना इति ते भगवत्याश्नाम शृण्वन्तो अपि न शुश्रुवुः शुद्र आशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना इति ते भगवद्याश्नाम शृण्वन्तो अपि न श्रुश्रुवुः शुद्राशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना।
शुद्राशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना ते भगवत्याश्नाम मन्दो अपि शुश्रुवो शुद्राशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना।
माताजी
मन्दो अपि न शुश्रुवो शुद्राशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना इति ते भगवद्याश्नाम शृण्वन्तो अपि न शुश्रुवो आशा भूरि कर्मणो बालिशा वृद्धमानिना
इति thus ते दे द ब्राह्मणास भगवत of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yachnam, the supplication, Shrinamantaha, hearing, api although na shushrubuhu, they did not hear. Shudra asha, full of petty desire. Bhuri karmanaha, entangled in elaborate ritualistic activities. Balishaha, childish fools. Vriddhamaninaha, presuming themselves to be wise men. Transition and purport by the disciples of His Divine Dosha Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Brahmanas heard this supplication from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves to be advanced, in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools. Purport. These childish Brahmanas were full of petty desires, such as the desire to attain material heaven. And therefore they could not recognize the golden transcendental opportunity offered by them by the arrival of Krishna's personal boyfriends. Presently, though throughout the world, people are madly pursuing material advancement and thus cannot hear the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna that is being broadcast to the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. Times have hardly changed, and proud materialistic priests are still prevalent on the earth. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiyam Nadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakhamvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhe Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so as to elaborate a little bit on this purport. Also, a little saddening news is that our dear God Buddha, His Grace Radha Diti Prabhu, lost His mother yesterday. So we are praying, we all pray for the departed soul. And she was a very nice Vaishnavi. And of course, as Radhanand Maharaj says, good fruits come from good trees. So she certainly gave her best in life in the service of the Lord. So let us pray to Shishu Radha Gopinath that they may shower their causeless mercy and unlimited grace on that great soul. So yesterday, His Grace Akinchan Krishna Prabhu was explaining that there is no need to explain anything on this purport after being so elaborately and wonderfully explained by His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj. So this class of mine is just a formality for my purification. But as a service to the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Srila Prabhupada has instituted this in his ISKCON temples, daily Bhagavatam classes every day. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. The day begins with the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the day continues the serving the pure Bhagavat, the instructions of great souls. So, here the coward friends of Krishna are being implored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they have requested Krishna to kill the demon of hunger in their heart, this is another demon that has been killed. The whole past time we have hearing about demons being killed by the Lord. But here Krishna is killing the false pride of the Brahmanas. That demon of false pride has been killed within the hearts of the Brahmanas. And at the same time, here the gopis or the wonderful Brahmana wives are able to get the benefit of the killing of the pride of their husbands. And we have seen this pastime when the Lord is asking the friends to beg without expectation. The Lord knew that definitely there will be some hindrance on the path of receiving charity. So one should not be discouraged. So here, when they have gone to the Brahmanas, they were performing those rituals. Because being too busy, they could not. This is the exact words, how they are not paying attention to the request of the coward friends. And itite bhagavat yachnam. When the Lord's requests come to the Lord representatives. So when the Lord representatives beg or request something from us, it is exactly like the Lord sending His representatives to ask something from us. So here, because the Brahmanas could not appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, therefore they could not appreciate His servants too. We see in the case of Sripad Ramanacharya, when he went to his disciples, two disciples, one was a rich landlord, another was a poor grahastha. The rich one, the rich landlord, when the disciples went to the home, and then he was so excited to serve his spiritual master that he neglected to receive his disciples carefully. And therefore, Sripad Ramacharya came and asked, when the disciples came, and he asked them that, how did he receive you? And he said that, they said that he was very excited to receive you, and we could see the enthusiasm in his demeanor, that he was eagerly waiting for your association. Sripad Ramacharya said, you please go to the house of this poor grahastha, the disciple. And there you could not find, the disciples were not, when they found that he was not there, but then they were so, his wife was so eager to receive them, that she gave proper sitting place, she gave proper respect, attention, care. And therefore, Sripad Ramacharya said, we will go there. And then we see later on that this is how the disciples of spiritual master are the representative of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The way we treat the devotees is how we actually receive Krishna in our life. So here it is said, itite bhagavad yachnam. They could not appreciate Krishna's request through the boys. They were thinking that these are some boys asking. They are just disturbing our rituals. So they could not appreciate the connection of these devotees, of these wonderful covered friends, even though they were speaking so elaborate details about the sacrifice, they should have been aware that these are not ordinary boys after they have given the previous verse the exact details of sacrifice in which they can partake of food and therefore they could supply food at a particular interval of time. So, first they have ignored, and they have secondly persistently, or it was a persistent neglect. First could be a sheer overlook that we could not appreciate. But the second look or a second thought should have brought some kind of sanity in their appreciation of these boys. And therefore, they were so much absorbed in achieving the pleasures of the heavenly planets, they considered this request as to be insignificant compared to that attainment of the heavenly pleasures. Therefore, śrunvanto api na śruśruvuhu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, such wonderful phrases are explained by Śrīla Sukhdev Goswami. Paśyan api na paśyati, and śrunvanto api na śruśruvuhu. Then, not able to see in spite of very glaringly visible, and not able to hear even after offered or request. Therefore, it is explained here, śrunvanto api na śruśruvuhu. In fact, the understanding is that they could not appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yachanam, because they could not appreciate the devotees, the Vaishnavas. And because, what did they do? They could not hear. In spite they were hearing. They were listening, but they were not hearing. So therefore, there's a difference between listening and hearing. Listening is a very casual, passerby kind of a hearing. You're hearing amidst the noises. Just like in a crowded mob, we just hear, we listen what everyone has to say, but we don't place too much emphasis on their opinions and suggestions. So, listening means not to place emphasis on the content of what is being said. And hearing means meditating on those words and actually making them as your life and soul. Therefore, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is not just an idea or a concept or a ritual. Even in Krishna consciousness, there are so many so-called rituals. The morning program is a ritual, in the sense that there is certain way that we enter the temple hall, we offer obeisances, we offer our prayers, we sing those prayers every day. Then we offer our respects, our prayers for protection to Lord Narasimha Dev. Every day is a ritual, worshipping Tulsi Maharani, watering the Tulsi plant, offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas, begging for forgiveness for any unintentional and intentional offenses that we have committed throughout the day. So the Vancha Kalpataru prayers means that we may remember the past day that we may have intentionally or unintentionally hurt some devotees, or even some people that may be not devotees now, but they may be just sincerely trying to understand the part of devotional service. So, the rituals are always there. We are surrounded by rituals. Everything is a ritual. Why? Because it's a sadhana bhakti. For a sadhana bhakta, the ritual is essential. But it is all the more important to fill the essence in the ritual. So, because what deviates one from performing the essence and the ritual together? Shudra asha. Shudra asha means petty desires, surrounded or born out of false conception of the self and the idea of lording over matter. Simple as that. The living entity in conditioned state is accustomed severely to lord it over the matter, grossly, subtly. And therefore, there is this Shudra asha that we can actually experience some kind of happiness trying to be the master, trying to be the controller, trying to be the proprietor. And therefore, bhuri karmano. And therefore, the bhuri karmano means excessive burden of empty rituals becomes the liability in devotional service. Why? This could come or this could perpetuate because this could be vriddhamanina. This brahmanas were thinking they are very wise men. Their conception that they know or they knew something was their greatest stumbling block in understanding what the cowherd boys were asking. So therefore, vriddhamaninaha means pretending to be wise men or convinced in the false conception of being superior. Vriddhamaninaha. It could be out of seniority of in age, seniority in devotional service, the practice that we are performing. It could be seniority in some skill. It could be some more knowledge. It could be some more understanding of the shastras. It could be access to greater information within the realm of devotional service. Or it could be actually advancement in bhakti. And that also could become a burden because we may claim that this is ours and we are better. The concept that we think that we are better than anyone itself defeats the purpose of awakening pure love of Krishna. So here, because the brahmanas were thinking that they were better than at least than their wives and their boys, therefore they had a strong conception rooted in their false or the so-called erudition of knowledge and the elaborate performance of rituals. So that's why when Lord Balaramji, he was touring all the places, he toured all the places of pilgrimage just to avoid killing in the war. And imagine Lord Balaram goes to Naimisharanya and finds Romharshan Suta, who's of a mixed caste. And then he's seated atop the Vyasasana, and when Lord Balaram arrives, everyone is folding their hands, bowing down and offering obeisances and offering the respects. But while Romharshan Suta is unfazed and he is absolutely unmoved, he has not even bowed his hands, sorry, he has not even folded his hands, bowed his head, what to speak of offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why Lord Balaram found that discrepancy, it was similar to the discrepancy of the pride of the very atrocious kings who had gathered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Therefore, they are similarly proud. And therefore, Lord Balaram did not hesitate to take a blade of Kushagras and touch the body of Romarshan Suta. Knowing that he is a disciple of Vyasdev, erudite in learning and scholarship, knower of so many Puranas and Itihasas, but was not rooted in character. This was a flaw seen by Lord Balaram, and immediately he killed. So therefore, we find that this Yachnam, the word Yachnam is being here representing the begging, the supplication. And this is also when the demigods, when they actually wanted to kill Vritarasura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu said, go and get the Kavach, Narayan Kavach mantras chanted by Vishwarup, and then also get the Vajra weapon made out of the bones of Dadichi Muni. You can't take a bone from a living person and said, give your bones and live on flesh. It meant like you had to ask life of Dadichi Rishi, and he said he will give. And Dadichi Muni was asked by the Ashwini Kumaras that please give your body in service, in sacrifice for the demigods to make the weapon to kill Vritrasur. And Dadichi Rishi was just, he was not disturbed or he was not amazed by this request. So, he was accustomed to sacrifice his life. And therefore, when the time came to ultimately give up his life, he had no regrets. Because he was practicing throughout his life, giving. And then, he's saying that, do you know what you're asking for? You're asking for my life? and said, how do you justify this? That you are asking a life of a person. And he said, the demigod said, they said that those who are self-interested, those who are too self-interested, beg something from others. And not knowing of others' pain. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Right? Similarly, he who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything that he might want in charity. So Prabhupada mentions the qualifications of beggars and donors. We are approaching Janmashtami. So this is the one day, one time of the year we beg officially. Right. So Prabhupada is giving some practical principles for begging charity. Prabhupada is saying that this verse describes two people. One who gives charity and one who begs for it. A beggar should not ask charity from a person who is in difficulty. And if you cannot understand a person, just ask. And then if you find that person is too much in difficulty, then one should not continue begging. And then Prabhupada says, similarly, one who is able to give charity should not deny a beggar. And Prabhupada explains Chanakya Pandit's Niti, saying that Sannimite Varam Tyago Vinash Niyate Sati, that everything in this material world is about to perish. So why not sacrifice it for the benefit of the Supreme Personality of Godhead while it is useful? And therefore, Prabhupada is saying that if one is advanced in knowledge, he must be always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. And Prabhupada said, the Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted, learned people who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna consciousness movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving God consciousness in the human society. Srila Prabhupada in his early childhood, Abhay Charan explains, in the Lilamrita it is explained that how he was very much in the beginning attached to worshipping Sri Sri Radha Govind, the deities given by his father, organizing Rath Yatra festivals very enthusiastically. But the thing came about when the Gandhi's movement started. And then he was so much worried about the condition of India at that time. And so he decided to join Gandhi's movement, and for that they had to give up the very foundation of the education, of the degree that they had accepted from the British. So he renounced the degree, the college degree. What did that mean? That gave a strong message that this is the prerequisite for a sacrifice. That one gives the very tools, a very means which may perpetuate ignorance and continue to spread that infection throughout the human civilization. So he gave up the degree. And what did Abhay Charan's father, Gaur Mohande, say? He was very happy that Abhay gave up his degree. He had received a degree and gave the degree back. It is another case when one is not able to obtain a degree, then the father says, okay, don't give up effort. Some students, they keep trying for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, various degrees. So father says, now give up degree, give up the aspiration for a degree. Srila Prabhupada had degree and he gave it up. Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and all this two prominent Goswamis, they were the high top ranking officers of the government. They had it all. They were not trying to aspire for it. They were not struggling to achieve it. They had it all. And they had to send a clear, strong message that unless one has that integrity of the being sacrificial in nature, there is no possibility of people appreciating the message. Therefore, they gave up their high positions, amassed wealth and prestige just to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to make it very credible. Sacrifice is a prerequisite for credibility. And that sacrifice, when it is rooted with integrity, makes a tremendous impact on the hearts of the conditioned souls. Therefore, when these Goswamis were writing literatures, that purity reflected from their sacrifice. And therefore sacrifice is very important. Prabhupada is mentioning that similarly everyone else with a comfortable, materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna consciousness movement to elevate the fallen souls. And one should join the Krishna consciousness movement following the examples of great personalities such as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and the previous example of Dadichi Muni. Prabhupada is explaining here. That's for begging. Begging means the Lord was requesting sacrifice from those who were involved in sacrifice. Right? But the real sacrifice was to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they could not understand that. So here, even when Jarasandha is approached by Lord by Bhim and Arjun to beg for a fight, though knowing that this may be Bhim and Arjun, he nevertheless accepted that and given charity the request to fight. They didn't look like Brahmanas. They were disguised as Brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada also gave his disciple Shyamasundar Prabhu the begging assignment, the first begging assignment, to go and ask from George Harrison the money for printing Krishna book. Right? That was a charity, right? Some $36,000 or so, right? So much amount. And George said, I never asked from anything, from anyone practically till now. And this is from George. He always thinks that people come to him for getting something. He'll be thoroughly discouraged. He will lose his inspiration to become a devotee. Prabhupada said, just go and ask. And then that incident happened when he was asking. There was a sudden surprise on the face of George, and he was feeling let down. Okay, this is why you were actually making friendship with me, to get money from me. And then suddenly, as he was reflecting, there was a huge thunderstorm and lightning that went on for some time. And then George decided to, okay, I will do it. And then he came back. And thereafter Prabhupada writes in his foreword to Krishna book, thank you Sriman George Harrison for contributing. And he would write so many places. So therefore, it is said Shuklambar Brahmachari was one of the renunciants, a very mendicant beggar in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari and beg and steal away the begged grains, the rice from Shuklambar Brahmachari. Why? Because his heart was full of devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he simply subsisted by begging a little. And therefore it is mentioned in the purports of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Shuklambar Brahmachari is one of the wives of Brahmanas who were in the pastime in Krishna here offering whatever they had. And therefore this is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again reunited with those wives, one of the wives of the Brahmana, that was Shuklambar Brahmachari. So therefore here it is explained that Shunumanto api na shushruvo. They heard the supplication but they could not appreciate. There could be several reasons why one cannot appreciate the value and the depth of Krishna consciousness. Three kinds of people, they don't appreciate Krishna consciousness broadly. There could be many more. First is the busy people. They have no time. Why? Because they are in the pursuit of some temporary pleasures. Therefore, they cannot appreciate the eternal happiness. So these are the people who stick to their position, to their material position, who are attached, who think that losing their position would mean that they would lose everything in life. And example of that of Dhritarashtra. He was so much busy in maintaining his position, he could not hear all the good counsel which Vidura gave for such a long time. And when he was in the house of the Pandavas, he wanted to, again when Vidura came back, so again he had the nature, Vidur, can you help me solve the problem? He would go to Vidur for getting the solution to the problem, but he was never intended to apply the problem, apply the solution which Vidur gave. Because he always wanted a solution which was very favorable to his attachments. He wanted Vidur to endorse his attachments. And Vidur never said that. And Vidur said now this time that everything has been overtaken by the tide of time. Now it is time for you to move out of this place, not move on. All the time he was telling to move on, give the share to the Pandavas. But he said, now you get out. Don't expect anything. And that's how Dhritarashtra was forced, ejected from his position of attachment by Vidura's strong words, strong instructions. So, second kind of people are who particularly are the avoiding kind of people. These people are avoiding because they have no desire at all to become Krishna conscious, because they are too proud of their material qualifications. This is in the case of Ramchandra Khan, who actually was a rich landlord in a village, and he always envied the Vaishnava Srila Haridas Thakur. He had offended Haridas Thakur. And when Nityanand Prabhu came along with his followers to his home, he was offered a place which was outside the home in the cow shed. And as soon as Nityanand Prabhu understood the mentality of Ramchandra Khan, in anger, Lord Nityanand Prabhu left that place. That very same evening, fire ravaged his house, and the Muslim tax collector came there and ransacked the whole village and practically destroyed the whole village of Ramchandra Khan. Avoiding such a person like Lord Nityanand Prabhu, because very proud of one's own material qualifications. Thirdly, are those who are innocent, ignorant, and foolish. The people who avoid the supplication from the devotees. And therefore, these people can be awakened by proper injection of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, here it is explained that Shudra Asha Bhuri Karmano, they were engaged in elaborate rituals. And sometimes it is explained there are two causes for not appreciating the message of bhakti. First is anarthas and second is apradhas. The first is anarthas, means weaknesses of heart, lust, greed, envy, pride, anger, illusion. And anarthas are offenses and attitude, indifferent, insensitive attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His creation. We find the story of, there's a famous story of the disciple of Dhaumya Rishi, Upamanyu and Aruni. This one disciple, Upamanyu, was very much a devout disciple, and Dhaumya Rishi said, these two disciples of mine are qualified to be called as disciples. Therefore, he would give them services. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's life also, this thing happened, the trust. We can see the trust here. Prabhupada actually gave up that degree. Then he moved on. Then his father said, this is the girl for your marriage. So Prabhupada was not attracted by this girl because she was not so beautiful. Prabhupada said, anyone else would be better because I am not attracted to this girl. So then his father said, this is very good for you because you will not remain attached. He knew what his son, what was best for his spiritual advancement of his son. So he said, okay. He on purpose did not find a very beautiful girl for Srila Prabhupada, for Abhay Charan at that time. And he said, this is good for you. And Abhay Charan accepted that, thinking that, oh, my father wishes is my well-wisher. And he accepted it. Thereafter, Srila Prabhupada was, he was in Karthik Bose, Bengal Chemicals Laboratory, and he was appointed as a manager. 40 years people were in this office who were vying for that post, praying to Durga Devi, please give us the post of manager. Those times. Manager of those times means, imagine, that was considered like CEO. Next to the CEO, MD. Something like MD position, because that was the only thing there. And then they were asking him, Kartik Chandra Bose, that how come this new person is appointed as a manager? While we are here for 40 years. And he said, because I trust him. All these 40 years of your loyalty or so-called employment and service in this organization has not won trust of mine, has not won my trust. Therefore, trust is a very important qualification of a disciple. Prabhupada explaining this, of course, Prabhupada explained this in his own communications with his disciples, this story, just to show how much trust is important in exchange of dealings with the spiritual master and the authorities. So, even Prabhupada was telling Giriraj Maharaj, he was Brahmachari that time, but he was given charge of affairs at the Jhu temple. But he was not very much expert manager and very well versed in Indian state of affairs, dealing with the contractors and the various people, lawyers. He was a very naive person, very simple person. He said, why you have appointed Giridas Das Brahmachari? Prabhupada said, because I trust him. Therefore, I have appointed. It's not a question of skill. It's a question of trust. And then Malati Mataji was once preparing nice prasadam for some god brothers of Srila Prabhupada, very senior ones from the Gaudiya Math in Mayapur. And at the time when they all came, there were none of them there. None of the other devotees were around. So Prabhupada said, okay, Malati, you serve. And she was a lady and she was thinking, how will I serve this very senior sannyasi god brothers of Srila Prabhupada? Somehow you serve. And Prabhupada said, why is that I give this service to you? Prabhupada said, because she will give her life for me and I will do the same for her. Therefore, I have chosen her to serve all of you. Though being an ordinary lady and they are being sannyasi god brothers. So therefore, trust. So Upamanyu was given the service of tending the cows and Aruni was given the charge of cultivation. Krishi Goraksha. That was the occupation. And then Upamanyu was given, his guru asked, so how come you are growing in size? You are becoming a little healthier day by day. He said, because when I go out, I beg something if I am hungry while tending the cows. He said, you are not allowed to eat anything without guru's permission. If you beg something, you have to bring to guru and whatever guru gives, you have to accept. That is guru-disciple relationship. So then he came back and again his guru said, why is that you are still more fatter than before? Are you still begging? He said, I am not begging now. Now I drink a little bit cow's milk. When I become hungry, I take a little milk from the cows and I drink a little bit of that. So this Dhammarishi said, no, you can't take that milk also. So he then stopped. Next week again guru said, why are you become still so fat? Are you taking the milk? He said, no. But I take a little bit froth of the milk that is on the cows, the calf's mouth, which the calf drinks after its own quota is taken. So I drink a little bit froth on the, because when I'm hungry, I just take that. He said, you're not allowed to take that too. So then Upamanyu kept on doing the services. He was not feeling frustrated. The guru is always saying, no, 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 don't do this. He kept on discharging his services every day. And afterwards, when he was hungry, he took the sap, he drank the sap of a tree. And that was a little poisonous. And he became blind in his eyes. And he fell into a ditch. Evening, Guru came looking for Upamanyu and found that Upamanyu was lying there. He was shouting, Upamanyu, Upamanyu. He said, I am blind, but I can speak. Guru Maharaj, I have fallen here because I was hungry and again I took that sap of the tree. And because of that, I am fallen in this ditch. Dhammarishi then prayed for the Ashwini Kumars to come and give back his vision. When he got back that vision, he said, you are a very faithful disciple. Why? Because you sincerely tried to follow my instructions as per given. And that's how the weaknesses of the heart can be overcome by proper discharge of the instructions given by the spiritual master. And aparad, offensive mentality, has to be given up by understanding that one is hardly anyone to judge someone or to even offend anyone. Because Jivira Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das, in the servant of the Lord, there is no question of offending anyone. So there is no question of being better. So this is explained here, and therefore these reasons of why one cannot hear properly. The three categories of people: the busy people, the proud people, and the ignorant. And the two categories in under which we could very become neglectful of heeding to the instructions are because of the anarthas and because of aparats. But therefore, the aspirations, if they are still petty, shudra asha, then one may become simply involved in hollow, empty rituals. Something like we came for pure love of Krishna, when we came early in the movement, and now suppose we have developed so many other desires apart from that, that pure desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, birth after birth after birth, then that becomes shudra asha. So it is expressed respect, position, prestige, and anything but service, unalloyed service. So stories explained are for lion. A lion is chasing, is very hungry, chases a mice. And mice is very difficult to catch. Right? Because it's very stealthily, you know, small and escape anywhere. But imagine that lion chases the mice, finally gets the mice. But involvement to get the mice and catch the mice was so arduous and strenuous that the lion has expended so many calories. So eats the mice and after that feels that abhi achar bhi nahi hua. This is not even the appetizer before the lunch. And then remains more hungry because it has spent more calories than to actually gain from the eating of the mice. Therefore, imagine the human form of life given, not only the human form of life but also a love to associate with devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada is the greatest lion, you can say. But if a lion chases very petty desires, imagine the kind of dissatisfaction that will attain at the end of the chase for these petty desires. This is petty desires. And therefore the lion chases after the antelope. Though the antelope is very difficult to catch, pure love of Krishna is very difficult and rare to obtain. But if one chases that antelope, the stress, the struggle and the strain and the effort is tremendous. But if the lion simply focuses on one antelope and makes sure that keeps running and keeps running and keep tiring the antelope, eventually the antelope will be caught. And when the lion feasts on that antelope, the antelope, the calorie expended out of all that chase will be neutralized, and not only neutralized but be 7 times, 10 times more. It can fast for, it can actually be peaceful for a week because that antelope is very sufficient to satisfy that lion. So therefore, though the goal of pure love of Krishna is very difficult to obtain, very rare, one must keep struggling, endeavoring, strenuously chasing. And what will happen when Krishna sees our chase, what we are after? Krishna will make that pure love of Godhead accessible to us. It will come to us. We have to keep trying. We cannot catch Krishna, but Krishna will become the property of one who will become dear to Krishna. So therefore, this is Prabhupada. Actually, today is the most important day of the ISKCON incorporation day. Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON. One day, laughingly, in the May of 1996, Prabhupada said, "So we will call our society ISKCON." Just very casually, we'll call it as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada got this Krishna consciousness word from Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, the verse of Padyavali from Srila Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada means this word, meaning Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, means trying to taste the mellow taste of pure devotional service. This is Krishna consciousness translated as by Srila Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada was tasting that mellow, and he wanted to make it international, want to create a society, and he wanted to systematically give this taste to everyone. So then there was a Carl Jurgens, of whom later became Karlapati. He came and he was a Jewish person. He had an acquaintance of a Jewish lawyer. Prabhupada talked to him, "Can we incorporate a non-profit society?" Prabhupada wanted a non-profit organization. He did not want ISKCON just to be registered for the sake of giving an institutional entity. Because Prabhupada would then later, in later devotees, he would say that regarding the incorporation of our ISKCON centers, we want to run all our centers as non-profit religious organizations. That is the main point. And then, keeping this point in view, too much official control is not good in spiritual life. How Prabhupada is saying ISKCON? How did he want this ISKCON institution to be run? Did he want to run like an organization, like a business entity? Prabhupada is saying, keeping this point of view, too much official control is not good in spiritual life. The center should remain spiritually fit and independent. Some control must be there as it is now. Too much control means so many vouchers. Prabhupada did not want so much formality. And then say gradually it will become mundane institution. All our managers should be spiritually advanced, simply honest in carrying the orders of the spiritual master and Krishna. Democracy in spiritual affairs is not at all good, but breeds power politics. We should be careful about power politics. Our only aim should be that each and every devotee is fully dedicated to Krishna, then things will go on nicely. Prabhupada wanted to make this ISKCON as an entity to inspire devotees and become dedicated. And by the dedication and inspiration, he wanted to advance the cause of his spiritual institution. And therefore, on that day, on the 10th of July or so, I think so, yeah, something on that day, Stephen Goldsmith came to Prabhupada's lecture, and he came with a document, previously was charted by Srila Prabhupada, and then he said, at the end of the, so our Stephen, because in the class he was trying to inspire Stephen Goldsmith, because he was the only one non-hippie participant in that audience. So Prabhupada said, just like our lawyer, Stephen Goldsmith, he's a lawyer, but if he twists the law, then the whole purpose of the law is defeated. Just like Prabhupada said, rent tax was initiated by the Bengal government, but the lawyers twisted the rent tax law, and the government had to again reframe it, because it was bent in a way. So similarly, if you bent the commentaries and the purpose of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita with our own malicious motivated interpretations, it will become like following the plan of Krishna. So he was giving this example just to inspire Stephen Goldsmith. So he said, any questions at the end? Asked Stephen Goldsmith. He said, can I get the signing for the document? Because they wanted trustees for incorporating ISKCON. So Prabhupada said, you can take addresses. You can take name and addresses, whoever is here. And who are there? The ones who are just coming to Srila Prabhupada and was coming regularly. Imagine someone regularly coming to your preaching program for 6 months. You say, okay, we are starting an organization. Anyone here, give their addresses, make them trustees. Trustees are made with very great care and attention. Imagine. And Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON and said, take names and addresses of these boys and girls. Mike, Jan, James Green. And 6 people were there who said, and they also said, okay, take my name. Prabhupada said, take their name, they gave their name. Not knowing what is ISKCON going to be. And they thought ISKCON means 22nd Avenue, this small place is called ISKCON. And will be ISKCON. And this is how Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON in this way. Only he knew how much it is going to be an agent of great change. And he wanted the form, but he wanted more the spirit of dedication, of voluntary dedication and inspiration of the devotees by inspiring them to take Krishna consciousness and as per expectation. So therefore, just to read the 7 purposes of ISKCON, why Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so as to understand what is the substance of ISKCON. To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Prabhupada wanted ISKCON as a substitute to United Nations. He's talking about real peace and unity in the world because he knew that the world is going to be fragmented into so many factions, so many states, so many castes, so many communities. And he wanted devotees to come together first, to propagate. So his first purpose was to propagate. Second, to propagate Krishna, the consciousness of Krishna, as is revealed in great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He wanted to speak, he wanted to propagate on the basis of these two scriptures, Gita and Bhagavatam. Third, to bring the members of society together with each other. He wanted the devotees not to be scattered, but he wanted to be together with each other in spirit of unity and nearer to Krishna, not just sentimentally, emotionally being together, but being the center as Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and the humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Fourth, to teach and encourage Sankirtan movement, the congregation chanting as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to propagate Harinam Sankirtan, the glories of the holy name. Fifth, to erect for members and for the society at large, and society at large, a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna, Vrindavan, Mayapur. The holy places, Prabhupada wanted to develop these places so that devotees may come and become inspired spiritually, surcharge and bring more spiritual potency and distribute all over the world. Sixth, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. Prabhupada wanted not to do all this at the expense of becoming too much complex and becoming involved in so much materialistic affairs that one loses the goal of becoming liberated in this very lifetime. Seventh, with a view towards achieving above mentioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. This is Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON in form and substance. In fact, Prabhupada would meet, when he came back to India, he met Mr. Ramchandra Chhabria, who was one person who was actually very much supportive of Srila Prabhupada. And when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj met him, he would ask, "Can you tell us something about Srila Prabhupada?" So he said, "I will remember only one thing." He kept on again saying the one and the same thing. Why? Because whenever Prabhupada met him, he said the same thing to him. And he said that there is one thing I am very much disappointed about India. That Indians, they have so many children, parents, they have so many children, they will not give one child, they will not give one child for dedicating that person's life for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, "I am just disappointed with India for this one fact." Again and again he would repeat these things. Therefore Prabhupada, when he wanted to make League of Devotees, he said, "Give your one son. You have two children, two sons, your one son, I will make him perfect preacher of bhakti." Because his father gave him that training. It was natural for Prabhupada to understand that. Gaur Mohan, they said, "Okay, don't get involved, give the college degree, very good." That father whose son has very qualified degree and says, "I give up the college degree." Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur, he gave up the degree, pursuing astrology. Appreciated by Gaur Mohan, that yes, very good. I want my son to become a preacher of bhakti and a devotee of Srimati Radharani. That is the aspiration of a parent. Prabhupada was expecting such parents to come forward and give their one child dedicated to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at least this is the aspiration that we can all pray for, and to understand what Srila Prabhupada was begging from all of us. That to perfect our life in this very life, in this very one life, and try to spread this movement as he was requested by his spiritual master to spread this movement all over the world. So one begging of Srila Prabhupada that we can take on this day, right, on behalf of Krishna, like how Krishna sent us cowherd boys, that we may just take this simple message, give the form and spirit of Krishna consciousness in a very pure, transparent way, and thus become an agent of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. That is our only qualification, that is our only occupation. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.